one of the greatest works of literature, which you have often heard me cite, is John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress. In fact, in many American schools, it's still required reading. Do you know how the Pilgrim's Progress ended its first book? The sentence is, "So I awoke, and behold, it was a dream." Well, the reason why I cite that is because I could borrow it for myself as I come to the close of this series on Ecclesiastes. It is like a dream. When I decided to begin the series, I knew it would be difficult, but even then, I did not know it was this difficult. It is one of the most difficult series I have ever undertaken. In fact, I must confess, after the first month of the series, I wanted to discontinue. Gusto ko nang wag ituloy. But at about that time, a student of mine came to me who heard the first two messages uploaded on our church website and very thrilled. Sabi niya, "Pastor, ngayon ko lang naintindihan ng Ecclesiastes." I took that as encouragement to continue. If someone is understanding it, I might be doing something right. So well, now we come to the last of our series of this book. And one of the most liberating discoveries I made of Ecclesiastes was to understand the key word hebel, or translated as vanity. In the past, it has often been understood, and in fact many translations render it as meaningless. And it was one of those things that made it very difficult for me to understand, is because when I render it meaningless, some passages become meaningless to me. Eh, hindi ganun ang dapat na pagkaunawa ng salitang hebel sa Hebreo. This is the key word. And in fact, as I told you, the writer was very careful to really make this the key word. Do you know that the summation of the word hebel in Hebrew is the number 37? And do you know how many times the word hebel occurs in Ecclesiastes? 37. So the writer actually very carefully used this as his key word. The summation 37 is the number of occurrence of the word hebel in the book of Ecclesiastes. That's why the key to the understanding of the whole book is to understand that word hebel. And it is not in the sense of meaningless. Rather, as I suggested, and I stuck to that interpretation, is to understand hebel to mean brevity, the brevity of life. The writer is not saying that there are so many things in life that are meaningless. Rather, he is saying these things are good in themselves, yet these things smash on that mysterious wall we call death. And when we think of life with all its beauty and happiness and experiences, and yet we smash on that wall of death, we say with a preacher of Ecclesiastes, it is all too brief. And that's how liberating it was for me to understand Ecclesiastes in a new light. That the writer is not saying life is meaningless. What the writer is saying is that life is so brief. And when you look at the brevity of life, we come to the second part of Ecclesiastes with a new addition to the sense of hebel. Not only brevity, but it also means mystery. When you look at the brevity of life, it raises mysteries. And so the writer asks the question again and again, who knows? Who can find out? At yun ang paulit-ulit na katanungan dito. And one thing to bear in mind in the study of this book of Ecclesiastes is that the preacher is giving expression to the thoughts of those who can only look at life as being under the sun. And this is one of the key phrases of Ecclesiastes. Yung pag-interpret ng aklat na ito ay unawain natin nagbibigay ang mangangaral dito ng pag-iisip ng mga taong nakatingin lamang sa ilalim ng araw. Dinitingnan nila ang buhay sa kabuuan lamang nito na walang paliwanag mula sa Diyos. And the difficulty of interpretation is trying to understand and discriminate when it is the preacher is giving voice to the words or to the mentality of those who only look at life under the sun, and when is it he is giving words of wisdom. And this is where, when I consult commentaries, I consult five, I get six answers. And that's how difficult it was to understand this book of Ecclesiastes, but To God be the glory. We come to the last, and I hope we have found it truly a book of wisdom, for so it is. And so I invite you to turn now your Bibles to the last section of this book, Ecclesiastes 12, verses 9 to 14. And this time, contrary to my practice, I shall read from the English Standard Version. I have been reading from the New King James Bible, but this last section was rendered by the ESV in a very excellent way that I think the translation got it right. Ecclesiastes 12, verses 9 to 14. Besides being wise, the preacher also taught the people knowledge, weighing and studying and arranging many proverbs with great care. The preacher sought to find words of delight, and uprightly he wrote words of truth. The words of the wise are like goads, and like nails firmly fixed are the collected sayings. They are given by one shepherd. My son, beware of anything beyond this. Of making many books, there is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. The end of the matter, all has been heard. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil. So here in this last section of Ecclesiastes, there is something which is a common element in all wisdom books of the Bible. Pag sinabi natin wisdom books, kasama rin ang Job, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. Some will also include the Psalms, but these three books are the wisdom books: Job, Ecclesiastes, the book of Proverbs. And there is something common in all these wisdom books. Or that the wisdom books all conclude that wisdom is in the fear of God. Yan ang pagkakapare-pareho ng mga wisdom books. Sa kanilang tinitingnan ng karunungan na karugtong ng takot sa Diyos. Wisdom is fear of God. This is something which is found in both the book of Job and the book of Proverbs. Listen, for example, to Job 28 and verse 28. And he said to man, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to turn away from evil is understanding. And you repeat those words, you find those words repeated again and again in the book of Proverbs. Wisdom is to fear the Lord, or the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And Ecclesiastes is saying the same thing, except that it is saying it in a very unique way. Yun din ang sinasabi niya, ngunit sinasabi niya ito sa isang natatanging paraan. And of special significance are his words, the end of the whole matter. Or in other translations, the conclusion. And perhaps the better sense is the ultimate of it all. And that is my message for this last portion of our series. The ultimate issue of wisdom is godliness. The ultimate issue of wisdom is godliness. Now I'm using the word godliness as the synonym for the biblical expression fear of God. In Ecclesiastes, the fear of God is the opposite of that outlook reflected by the words under the sun. Yung takot sa Diyos para sa Ecclesiastes ay yung kabaligtaran nung tumitingin sa buhay na nasa ilalim lang ng araw, nasa silong ng araw. Yun ang paningin niya sa buhay, wala yung Diyos. Kabaligtaran yan ay yung takot sa Diyos na tumitingin sa buhay na may kinalaman ang Diyos. In other words, beyond the sun, not just under the sun. Fear of God is to have an outlook of life that begins with God, sustained by God, and ends in God. In other words, God becomes the center and circumference of the outlook of the one who fears God. Yung nakapalibot, yung pinakasentro ng pananaw ng isang taong may takot sa Diyos ay ang Diyos. But because fear of God may easily be misunderstood by many as being scared of God, let me use its synonym, godliness. And therefore, the ultimate issue of being wise in the biblical sense is to be godly. And in this unique ending, the preacher gives us a most helpful way of measuring and describing the godly. And there are three things. First, the godly and his ultimate authority. Secondly, the godly and his ultimate responsibility. And thirdly, the godly and his ultimate accountability. So yung tatlong bagay na yun, ultimate authority, yung ultimong otoridad ng makadiyos na tao, ultimate responsibility, yung ultimong pananagutan o responsibilidad ng makadiyos na tao, and ultimate accountability, ang ultimong ipananagot ng makadiyos na tao. So first of all then, the godly and his ultimate authority. Paano natin masasabi na tayo ay makadiyos? Na tayo yung taong marunong na binabanggit dito ng Ecclesiastes at ng ibang wisdom books, na yung taong marunong ay yung taong may takot sa Diyos. Paano natin malalaman na tayo yung taong yun na may takot sa Diyos? At dito sa Ecclesiastes, his very unique way of describing fear of God gives us one very important measure. We are told here that he wrote the words of truth. And the way he sought to influence others with wisdom is by putting into writing that wisdom. So, ang sinasabi niya rito ay isinulat niya yung karunungan upang ito ay maka-impluensya sa iba. Isinulat niya yung mga kasabihan na dapat malaman ng mga babasa. And then in the same structure as in Proverbs, like a father instructing his son, this father tells his son, beware of anything beyond this. So makikita natin dito, may isinulat siya at ngayon binibilin niya sa kanyang anak, huwag kang lalampas sa nakasulat. He is telling his son to be guided by the written word. And you see how much more it applies to us. So when we ask, what is the ultimate authority of the godly man? Our answer is so much more applicable in our times. Godly wisdom recognizes the ultimate authority in the written word of God. Yung makadiyos na karunungan ay kinikilala yung ultimong autoridad sa nakasulat na salita ng Diyos. Kaya ko sinasabi, mas applicable pa nga ito sa atin. Alam niyo kung bakit? Nung panahon ng Ecclesiastes, there were other sources of God's word other than what's written. But of course, what's written, being permanent, was of ultimate authority. But there were other sources of God's word, chiefly the prophets. In other words, in the Old Testament, before the scriptures were complete, God's word can be oral. God's word can be by vision. God's word can be by dreams. But the most important form of God's word even then was when it was put into writing. But now, what was true then is no longer true now. And what I am saying is that what they had then in terms of prophets, visions, voices, we no longer have. For us, God's word is only one form. And that word is what is written. And therefore, what the wise man is telling his son here, do not go beyond what's written, is even more applicable to us. And therefore, when we ask the question, what is the ultimate authority of the godly man? Our answer is the ultimate authority of the godly man is sola scriptura. Scriptures alone. Now, does that mean we are neglectful of other material sources of knowledge? Does that mean we do not read other writings than scriptures? Of course not. Alam niyo, noong panahon ng Reformation, yung sola scriptura ay iniba yan sa isa pang kasabihan noon o isa pang slogan, nuda scriptura. Yung nuda scriptura means bare scriptures. This was the position of the ad sects. The cults of that period said we should not read anything else other than the Bible. They sounded pious, but the reformers rejected it. And we reject it. We are not saying that we do not use any other writings other than the Bible. You should read much. You should be a wide reader. But the question is, where is the Word of God? And the Word of God for us is what is there in the Scriptures alone. Nowhere else. Others may be consistent with Scriptures or contrary to Scriptures, but none else are the Scriptures than the 66 books of the Bible. So we do not treat with contempt other areas of knowledge. We treat seriously scientific knowledge, philosophical knowledge, even practical knowledge. But they are issues under the sun. What sets apart a godly man and woman is that he derives from Scriptures his ultimate authority. His ultimate authority is not what he reads in science. His ultimate authority is not what he reads or what he derives from intelligent people or even geniuses today. The godly man derives his ultimate authority from the Scriptures. Ganyan ang makadiyos na tao. Kumbaga sa isang communist, the communist is characterized by his commitment to Karl Marx's Communist Manifesto published in 1848. And even though it could be shown to have loopholes and fallacies, a good communist will be committed to that. Well, for the Christian, our commitment is not to any writings of men. Our commitment is to the Scriptures. And therefore, the challenge is, if you will be godly, let there be a guiding word in your life day by day. If you would have godly wisdom, this is the measure. You should have a guiding word from the Scripture day by day. Here, the preacher uses two illustrations for the guiding function of the written word. May dalawa siyang larawan na ginamit. Yung isa ay sinabi niya, the words of the wise are like goads. What is a goad? A goad is a pointed stick to direct the motion of an ox. Habang ito ay naglalakad, ay gumagamit yung may-ari ng isang patpat para ito igiya sa dapat niyang direksyon. Ito ngayon na sinabi ng wise man tungkol sa kanyang isinulat. It is like goads. In other words, one function of the Scriptures day by day is to tell us our direction. Without the Scriptures to guide us, it is so easy to go into the wrong direction. And how many decisions we need to make day by day? Decisions that are ethical in nature. Decisions that may reveal your faith. Decisions that may compromise it. And without the Scripture, before you know it, you're going into the wrong direction. You need the Scripture as a goad when you are on a motion, when you need to make decisions. The other figure he used is that the words of the wise are like nails firmly fixed, are the collected sayings, he says. Ito naman ay pegs for stabilizing the tent. Kaya makikita natin dito dalawa yung larawan niya. Yung isa ay in motion so that you may have the right direction. Yung isa ay when you are fixed so that you may have the right position. But the notion is clear. What he is saying is whether you have to take a position or to make a change to direct yourself to a certain path, you need the Scriptures. You will decide, the godly man decides on the basis of the written word. Now, that's the challenge to us. If you would be wise day by day, without realizing it, the believer may be so diverted from the things that really matter. When we accompanied the preacher in his journey, we saw many things to divert attention: wealth, mirth, fame, Lahat ng yan maaring umagaw ng ating atensyon. At maaring nangyayari na yan sa atin na hindi natin nalalaman, masyado na tayong naagaw na napupunta sa direksyon ng kasikatan o pagpapayaman o dun sa kasayahan. Any of this can divert our attention. And what will be the goad to direct us in the right path? Or what will be the peg to put us stable in the right position? Is the written word. And we need to ask ourselves, brethren, what is the place of the written word in your day by day? And this is where we need to understand the words of warning of the wise man here to his son. He said, of making many books, there is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. He is not telling his son to avoid reading or the study of other literature. Rather, this is the preacher's warning to his son of getting diverted from the written sayings. Or for our part, from the written word. In other words, there are so many things in our day-by-day experience that can divert our attention away from the written word. And before you know it, your godliness is being compromised. Before you know it, you're just evaluating life in terms of what is said in media. Or you're just evaluating your decisions in terms of what others are telling you. And you're no longer deciding on the basis of scriptures. This is the ultimate authority of the godly person. And we need to ask ourselves whether we are still retaining godliness. Napapanatili pa ba natin ang ating pagiging makadiyos? Isang paninimbang ay ang ating bang autoridad ay nakabatay pa rin sa nakasulat na salita ng Diyos. Ay isang hamon dito ay anong ginagawa mo sa iyong Biblia sa araw-araw? Anong papel ng Biblia sa iyo sa araw-araw? Sana wag ang Biblia natin ay dinadala lamang natin pag linggong pupunta tayo ng simbahan. Sana yung nakasulat sa Biblia ay talagang pinagbubulayan natin, pinagbubuhatan ng ating mga desisyon at ginagamit nating panimbang sa anumang direksyon na tatahakin natin, posisyon na ating tatangkilikin. Yan ang panghamon sa atin, mga kapatid, kung tayo'y nananatili pa sa salita ng Diyos. I read a story of an Indian preacher, a preacher from India who was used by God in the 1940s in a revival. And when he died, he arranged that the epitaph of his grave would read, "Here lies the body of a man who trembled at the word of God." And we need to ask ourselves whether we still tremble at the word of God. Trembling at the word of God means we don't treat the Bible in a habitual, routinary, customary fashion. But we treat it as special. So I ask you, are you godly? And by asking you whether you're godly, I'm not asking you whether you feel it in your breast or heart or in your veins. It's not a feeling. The godly man has the principle that he will not make a decision, he will not set his direction apart from the written word. This is the godly man's ultimate authority. Secondly, the godly and his ultimate responsibility. Here, the journey of the preacher in Ecclesiastes, as we journeyed with him, led him and led us to grapple with many mysteries of life, the unknowns. And in times of the unknown, we all feel a sense of paralysis. Pag hindi natin alam, para tayong napaparalisa. Ano bang gagawin ko? Kuminsan gusto natin agad malaman muna anong mangyayari. And it is in this light that the simple conclusion of our text is very wise. What does the wise man say is the end of all matters? Very simple words. Keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Keep his commandments. So godly wisdom acknowledges that ultimate responsibility is simply to obey what God commands. Now, it does not remove the difficulty of the unknown. There are still mysteries, but it does simplify our duty. Our duty is obey what God commands. Therefore, what that means, we need to know what command applies in any given situation. Sa isang sitwasyon, ano bang utos ang dapat na manimbang? And once you know what that command is, you obey it. Now, sometimes the problem is, for lack of knowledge, we do not know what commands apply. And this is where we need to study. This is where we need to seek counsel. For in the safety, in the multitude of counselors, the Bible says, there is safety. You want to know what otherwise people say in a given situation, what commands apply. Because one complication is when we make an issue of duty, what God has not commanded. One of the reasons why I accepted the invitation of the singles camp to be a speaker, even though I have not accepted any invitations for camp speaking since 2004, besides the pleading of the director, is because of the theme, Christian liberty. Now you see, my fear, and that includes even in Reformed circles, is that there is a tendency for some to make commands out of issues that are not commands. And in its place will stand legalism. I have heard it many, many times. And one of the reasons I accepted it is because I want the young people and the single people to have a word concerning Christian liberty, because this is a precious gift that we must not compromise by making commands what are not commands in Scripture. Eh, matagal akong nasa isang simbahan kung saan sari-saring mga utos ang hindi naman iniutos, kasama na kung anong isusuot ng mga kababaihan at anong hindi nila pwede isuot. Yung mga ganun ginagawang kautusan na hindi naman kautusan sa banal na kasulatan, at ang nangyayari ay nawawala yung kalayaan. So that's one complication when you make a command what is not a command. But a more serious complication is this, that once we isolate the real command that applies in a situation, it becomes a matter of obedience, and complications enter when we are not resolved that the issue is one of obedience. We begin to negotiate with God. We begin to expect God to make adjustments to us. And I have heard so many expect God to adjust. When you give them simple commands such as a believer must be baptized, ay katakot-takot ng mga pangangatwiran ng naririnig mo. And what they're trying to do is really negotiate with God what is clearly a command. Now apply that to other situations of our lives. Once you know and once you isolate what command applies, make it simple to you. The simple issue is obey it. You see, in negotiation, in essence, what you're trying to do is ask the person you're negotiating with, can I do less than what you want? And you're trying to argue, can you give more than what you are willing to give? Well, there's place for negotiation with peers. But can you imagine doing that with God? You're asking God, expect less of me. And then we're asking him, I expect more of you. Do that with God? Well, brethren, the ultimate responsibility of the godly man is once he isolates the command, to him, it is a matter of obedience. Regardless of contingencies, obey the commandments of God that apply day by day. By contingencies, I mean those things we have no control over. What will be the result? How will he respond if I obey what God commands of me to rebuke him if I know that he needs rebuke? And we can have all kinds of negotiation with God on that point. Well, beyond contingencies, brethren, there is a command. And what the preacher says here is that this is the whole of man. The word duty is not in the original. And the more proper rendering is, this is the whole of man. This is what makes you whole. When you make it a matter of obedience. Problems begin when something impedes our obedience, whatever it is. Listen to Paul in Galatians 5:7. He told the Galatians, "You were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth?" So ang sabi niya, ang ganda ng simula ninyo, ang ganda ng takbo nyo. And then at a certain point, biglang hindi kayo sumunod. At masasabi natin yan sa mga problema ng ating buhay pananampalataya. Maganda yung ating simula, maganda yung ating takbo. Kailan nagka-problema? Nagka-problema nung nagkaroon ng issue sa pagsunod. Hindi issue ng pagpapala. Hindi sa usapin ng magandang bunga. Hindi sa usapin ng resulta. Nagkaka-problema kapag nagkaroon ng balakid sa ating pagsunod. And you can say that of many areas. You run well until it is no longer an issue of obedience. And I'm asking you, perhaps there is one such case that you know you must deal with. Simplify it. As the wise man here simplifies the issue. Keep his commandments. Know what command applies. Perhaps in your office, in your situation, in your relations, in your ministries. Know what command applies and then keep his commands no matter what. As we are near our anniversary, whenever we come close to our anniversary, I cannot help but think back of some of those who once ran well in this church. And at a certain point, they stumbled, and some of them have fallen by the wayside. Apostates, we call them. And I can tell you, in each case of those, and I can still tell you of each case by name, the issue has been obedience. When obedience was compromised. So the godly and his ultimate responsibility, obedience. And lastly, the godly and his ultimate accountability. Ecclesiastes ends with a note of judgment. In fact, one of the clearest warnings, not only in the whole of the Old Testament, but in all of the scriptures. We have encountered warnings of judgment scattered in this book, and as if the writer, the preacher, needed one more, he ended with a note of judgment. And what a note! God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil. So what is godly wisdom? Godly wisdom answers ultimately to the judgment of God above all other accountability. It is good, it is virtuous to be accountable to others and to acknowledge your accountability. But there is none more thorough when it comes to accountability, and none more consequential for all eternity than the judgment of God. As I draw this series to a close, yet once more, I'm appealing to you who yet have to respond to the appeal of the gospel to be saved in Christ. Once more, I'm warning you of judgment to come. We have encountered that solemn picture in the book of Ecclesiastes of that man who has been to the holy place again and again, and yet he will die a wicked man. And would to God that no one can be said that of you, that you have frequented the holy place, you have heard the gospel again and again, but you have procrastinated time and again. And before death visits you, may you realize what great opportunity you are missing out. This is judgment. This is the one accountability you will not miss. It is sorrow, just every deed. And sometimes you wish it just stopped there, every deed. But it doesn't stop there. It says every secret thing. Things that you think is hidden from everyone. And the only way to flee from judgment to come, the Bible tells us, is through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you may be asking, should Christians be concerned about judgment? Doesn't the Bible say, Romans 8:1, the favorite of many, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus? Hindi ba sinabi ng Roma 8:1 na sa mga nakay Kristo Jesus, wala nang kahatulan? Bakit ba matatakot pa ang Kristiyano sa araw ng paghahatol? Well, should Christians be concerned? I say more so, but not in terms of condemnation. Judgment is in terms of evaluation. It is like a child seeking to please his parent. Sometimes you observe very young children and they do things, and after doing those things, they look at their parent's face whether the face registers approval. It's built instinct into a young child. Well, that should be built instinctively in the child of God. When we do anything, we look instinctively for a registered approval on the face of our God. Therefore, wisdom is this challenge. Let our day by day be concerned about the approval of God. Let it be our ultimate accountability until the last day of our lives. Here, ultimately, is wisdom. It is wisdom that you will not learn in the academe. There's no university degree for that attitude that looks at the eye of God upon me, that I stand and walk with the eye of God searching me. 1 Peter 1:17 puts it well. If you call on him as Father, who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with sobriety throughout the time of your exile. Take note the present tense. It's not talking simply of the future judgment. You are now under either approval or disapproval of God. And the child of God is very much wanting to know that there on the face of God is registered his approval of our conduct. Isang hinahanap yan ng Kristiyano na ang kanyang ama ay nag-aaproba ng kanyang pamumuhay. Iniisip niya, what is God saying now? Let not what others will say ring the loudest on your concern. Let what God will say, what God is saying now, that's wisdom. And as we go through the unknowns of life, and this is one point of Ecclesiastes. Life is full of who knows, who can find out. And the answer to those questions is no, and you don't need to. All you need to know is what is the command of God, what is the word of God, live by it, and let God do the rest. I come back to John Bunyan. John Bunyan was offered release many times from prison. But each time he would ask, if my release from prison is with the strings attached that I cannot do what I know God approves, and that includes preaching the word, then it will be useless to release me. And his imprisonment was prolonged because he refused to be released with the contingency that he cannot do what he knew God approved. And may we have that kind of attitude, because that ultimately is wisdom. Wisdom for our day by day. Wisdom means ultimate authority, the written word. Wisdom means ultimate responsibility, keep his commandments. Wisdom means ultimate accountability. I answer to God. I want the approval of God. And let it be our day by day. Let's close in prayer. Our Father, as we have learned from our series in Ecclesiastes, life is brief. And indeed, as our song has put it, one by one, the days, the moments, fleeting. And indeed, our moments on earth are so fleeting, napakaikli ng aming buhay dito sa mundo. At kaya nga't kailangan namin ang pananaw na hindi lamang tumitingin sa silong ng araw, kundi tumitingin ng may pananaw ng isang makadiyos. At tulungan mo, Panginoon, na sa pagtatapos namin ito ay dalhin namin ang karunungan na itinuturo ng mga ngaral sa aklat na ito. Help us, Lord, to learn wisdom. And the ultimate issue of wisdom is fear of God, godliness. It is not a feeling in our veins. It is not some spectacular experience, but rather these are habitual and regular principles of day-by-day life. And that includes our ultimate authority is the written word of God. Tulungan mo magsuri kami sa papel ng kasulatan sa aming pang-araw-araw na buhay. Sapagkat katulad ng babala ng mga ngaral dito of making many books, there is no end. Much study is weariness of the flesh. It may be that our occupation in the world has directed us to many books, many materials of this world. And we have been diverted far from the scriptures. It may be that we no longer tremble at the word. Correct us and bring us back to that place when scriptures once again are our ultimate authority. Help us to be guided by the measure of godliness in its ultimate responsibility, which is one of obedience of your commandments, which require of us to know what commands apply in any given situation, day by day. And once we isolate the commands, and may we be delivered from legalism that makes commands out of non-commands. But once we have isolated the real command, may we learn to simplify the issue. And the issue is one of obedience. For it is once we are hindered from obeying that whatever start of running well, we would be impeded in our Christian life when we no longer make it issue of obedience. And so help us, Lord, to always make our issues of day by day issues of obedience. And help us to be reminded of our ultimate accountability, that most sorrow of judgment that we will encounter with you. And though as believers we have no fear of condemnation, yet as your children, may we be like children looking for that registration of approval on their parents' countenance. May we have the same quest in our day-by-day life, that we seek to be approved of you more than the approval of men, more than the results of circumstances. May we have the quiet conscience that we are living by your word, keeping your commandments, and we are approved in our conduct day by day. This ultimately, after all, is what wisdom is. For wisdom, as we have learned from Ecclesiastes, is not providing answers to who can find out and who knows. Wisdom is just being guided in life, in belief, in convictions, and in our attitude by the Word of God. May it be so, day by day of our lives. In Jesus' name we ask all these things. Amen.